This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You could not ask for a better October day than what we currently have right now. It is absolutely beautiful outside of Kauffman Stadium. Congratulations on getting through your 9-5. If your plan is to drive out here and head to the game, we look forward to seeing you out here. I will be at the game later today. I'm not sure if Rob is going to come out here or not, you know. The only way Rob will come to the Truman Sports Complex is to watch KU lose to TCU. If it's the Chiefs or the Royals, Rob is staying at home. But you got KU, Arizona State, Rob's going crazy. Rob's tailgating for those memories. Rob's like, wait, hold on, it's postseason baseball? No thanks. You know who I want? Give me KU BYU at GEHA Field. Sign me up for it. What are you doing for the game today, good sir?
I am heading back home to hear Costas.
Yeah, of course.
The more Costas I get, the better.
Of course.
Team Costas.
Of course. We got so much to get into. We've got some stats. We got some numbers. We've got some positivity. We've got some negativity. We got a little bit of everything for you guys in this 5 o'clock hour. Not sure if anybody else is coming out here. If you missed anybody on the show, Rex Hudler was here earlier today. John Morosi was here. Jake Eisenberg was out here. It has been a lot of fun for today's show. We appreciate you guys making us your Thursday home as you get ready for game 4 of the ALDS. All right, I'll give you some stats here coming up. Hit it, Rob.
It's 5 o'clock. And your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
The Hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
All right, text line 913-586-7965. I want to go through two stats with you guys. You can fade the music down, Quentin, please. I want to go through the stats because I'm genuinely curious what you guys think about this. I would say there's three problems right now with the Royals. Now, two of those problems are intertwined, and let's talk about it. Like, if you were trying to explain a why, how are the Royals down in this series? Why are the Royals losing this series? Let's get to it. Number one, the biggest problem in this series have been the walks. I could give you stat after stat after stat. For the most part, these two teams have been pretty even. Hits, runs, bullpen, they have been two incredibly even match teams. Well, why do the Yankees have two wins and the Royals only have one win? Well, let me give you some stats. The first one is The Royals have given up 22 walks so far in this series. The Yankees have given up 7. If you give a team as talented as the Yankees 15 additional base runners, the way that the Royals have had, you make things incredibly difficult for yourself. Out of the 9 walks that they had yesterday, 2 of those runners scored. I think it's Denny Matthews that says this, that at this point in the season, a run is a rally. A walk is a rally, excuse me. That if you can get 1 or 2 walks and get the crowd going and the momentum going, offense is just going to be down in the postseason. You're going up against the best teams, the best pitchers, the best bullpens. Teams are quicker to pull their starter and not let them go that extra inning like we saw with Seth Lugo yesterday. So when you are putting guys on the base pass, the way that the Royals had for the better part of this series, you just put yourself in a really, really tight spot. So if I am answering the question, how did we get here? Why are the Royals losing? On the list is walks, 22-7. Now, we could talk about the strike zone part of it, because I know that some of you are very upset and frustrated about the strike zone and the way that this game has been umpired over the course of the first 3 games. But those are the stats. The second thing is, and I think this is a very obvious point, but sometimes I got to get you the numbers to very obvious points, the Royals didn't score enough yesterday to win. I'm talking to a group of fans that remember what Marty Ball was like. And you can win a playoff game 13-10, right? It happens. You can win a low-scoring playoff game. It's really hard to continue to do that over the course of the postseason. You did it twice in Baltimore. Offense was bad. You had 3 runs in those 2 games, but you figured out a way to win. You're not going to beat the Yankees that way. You're going to need to score 4 or 5 runs if you want to beat the New York Yankees. No one's saying that you got to win this game 9-8. I mean, you might have to, but you can continue to be what you've been. You've pitched incredibly well. Your bullpen has been incredibly well. You have shown that you match up fairly well with this team. You got to score more runs than they have. So Rob and I looked this stat up, and I want to share it with you. So the playoffs got expanded in 2022. So we don't have, 10 years of data for this, but we got 3 years and we got a lot of playoff games in those 3 years. If your team scored less than 3 runs, you were 8-67 in the postseason. And out of that 8, the Royals have 2 of those wins in the wild card round against the Baltimore Orioles. So I'm not saying it is impossible. Maybe the Royals could go out there today and they could win today 2-1. You get an incredible start from Michael Wacha. The bullpen comes in there and they're lights out. You continue to shut out Aaron Judge. You strike out Giancarlo Stanton. This place goes crazy and everybody goes home a winner and the Royals win 2-1. The more likely scenario is that you're going to have to win this game 5-3. The more likely scenario is that you're going to have to win this game 4-2. That's just how playoff baseball is. And yesterday, the biggest problem for the Royals is just they have not had an ability to consistently generate offense. Now, I understand that some of these numbers are with Vinny Pasquantino and not with Vinny Pasquantino. In their last 10 home games, the Royals have scored 23 runs in their last 10. It's just hard to beat teams consistently if you can't figure out a way to score. So today, if you want me to find a solution to this, I think the Royals got to be more aggressive. And maybe this is you got to play a little bit more small ball. You got to play a little bit more station to station. And you got to figure out a way to get to 3 to 5 runs in this game. Because that is a game that gives you a chance to win. Literally every other team so far this postseason has lost when that happens other than the Royals. The Royals are the only team so far in this postseason to win a game in which they have scored less than 3 runs. Now, the Orioles also scored less than 3 runs. They lost. Every other team, when that has happened, you have lost the game. So, again, I'm not saying it is impossible to do. The Royals could very easily win this game 2-1, 2-0. I don't think that that is your best and most realistic pathway to figuring out a way to win this series, Rob. You're going to have to figure out a way to get the bats going. And we'll talk more specifically about those individual bats with Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez. But as we kick off this conversation in the 5 o'clock hour, We can figure out all these different ways of how to figure this game out. The number one thing is, man, the Royals got to score more if they want to win this series against the Yankees.
I love the analogy Joel Goldberg made earlier in the show, and you can catch that interview on the podcast page. He said, "It's to make a football analogy, you can win an NFL playoff game 13-10. It can happen. You can Marty ball someone. You can grind out. You can win an ugly playoff game. But you're probably not winning three that way. You are not being Super Bowl champion with a bunch of 13-9 wins. That's not the path. You might have to find different ways to win. The Royals got their 13-10 win for that analogy. They beat Baltimore, and they really bucked the numbers. They have two of the eight wins that we've seen in the expanded format with scoring less than three. They won their playoff games, the NFL analogy, 13-10. They did it. But now you got to find another way to win. And the math tells you the new way to win is to score. And you know what? I made this analogy earlier in the show. I'm going to keep cross-sport analogizing because that's what we do on this show. I thought on Saturday and on Monday, the Royals, outside of their big three, were really good, and it got the offense going. They scored five on Saturday in a loss, and they scored four on Monday in a win. They scored nine runs in two games at Yankee Stadium, and they did it without basically anything from Bobby Witt Jr. or Vinny Pasquantino. They had found a way to scratch across some runs, and they went 1-1 of those games. That's like in basketball, having your role players put up 15-9 and you lose the game because Jordan wasn't good enough or LeBron wasn't good enough. They found a way to do more in New York, but they got to refine that magic. And if they don't, and they don't get to the magic number, which is three tonight, I don't think we are having a show tomorrow talking about Saturday. I don't think we're having a conversation about, hey, man, Waka was so good tonight. Those conversations do not happen. The magic number is three, and they have to get to there tonight if they have a shot at winning against the Yankees.
I'm happy that this text came up because this might upset some of you, but that's kind of what this show does a majority of the time anyway. Text line 913-586-7965. C-Dot, what you were saying is such a BS cop-out, saying that the Royals just didn't score enough and that they need to score more to win. Yes, that's obvious, but the lack of correct balls and strike calls have made such a huge difference in these tight games.
Here we go.
I say this with love. I say this with respect. You guys sound like Bengals fans. You guys sound like Bills fans. You guys sound like all the things that you hate on Sunday. I tell you guys this every Sunday, and it's always funny because the Chiefs are always on the winning end. Complaining about the officials is the free space in loser bingo. It is. It's easier to tell the officials to be better than it is to tell Bobby Witt Jr., who's making $300 million, to be better, or Vinny Pasquantino, who's hitting third for this team. It is the free space in loser bingo. So maybe it is a BS cop out. Yes, I am not here complaining about the officials. I simply want the Royals to be better. I simply want the Royals to be better than what they've been. And the reason I want them to be better, because I've got numbers for that too. Keeping it with the football, the Chiefs are not winning a postseason game if you get bad games from Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones. How did they win the Super Bowl last year? Patrick Mahomes quit the turnovers. Travis Kelce put together a month of incredible football. And Chris Jones was one of the five best defensive players in the world. Remember that. The Royals are not winning this series if Vinny Pasquantino doesn't have a hit. The Royals are not winning this series if Bobby Witt Jr. is not a key part of everything that they are doing. That's been the biggest difference so far in this series. We can talk about the walks. We can talk about the runs. The Yankees have a big three. They have a big three in Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Giancarlo Stanton. They have a big three. Yesterday, who hit the game-winning home run? One of the members of that big three. Juan Soto is constantly on base, and you're walking him. Vinny Pasquantino doesn't have a hit in this series. Vinny Pasquantino has five strikeouts and one walk in this series. He doesn't have an RBI. Give me a scenario in which the Royals win two more games if Vinny Pasquantino doesn't have a hit. Give me a scenario in which the Royals win the next 2 days if they don't get one of the five best baseball players in the world right now and Bobby Witt Jr. being a critical part of everything that they do.
So, yeah, we could have the conversation. Man, the ump should be doing this. Some of this has to be looking inward on all of this. It has to be looking inward on this. And the Royals' big three and the guys that you are counting on, they've let you down so far in this series. Bobby Witt Jr. has not played well against the Yankees. Vinny Pasquantino is 2-for-19 since coming back from injury. Now, I understand why he wanted to come back, and I think it was the right decision for him to come back. You needed a little bit of a boost. The offense was scuffling down at the end. There's a lot of different reasons. You don't win game two of the AL of the wild card series without Vinny Pasquantino. But the playoffs, kind of like sports, is a what have you done for me now kind of business, and there's just not a lot of time. It's not like baseball where you can get 2-3 weeks to turn things around and figure it out. That's not the way this thing works in the postseason, man. You get 50 ABs. You get 30 ABs in the postseason. And you better make do of it. If you're Aaron Judge and your slump just happens side with the worst part of the season, you get labeled a choker for the rest of your life. That is how this works, man, whether it's fair or unfair in all of this. So I'll read you guys text, 913-586-7965. But that's kind of how I'm looking at it, at least when it comes to these. The Royals have to clean up the walks. You cannot give up. You cannot give up 15 additional base runners than they've given up so far in this series. You can't put 15 extra Yankees on base. If the Royals are going to win this series, they need a better version of Bobby Witt Jr. and a better version of Vinny Pasquantino than they've gotten. The fact that those two guys don't have RBIs in this series, where else do you think you're generating the offense from? You're not generating the offense from Kyle Isbell. You're not expected to generate this offense with Mikel Garcia. No, your stars got to play like stars. Your big dogs got to eat. And right now, the big dogs are hungry.
There's also a trickle-down effect if the big dogs start doing what they're supposed to do. Like right now, the Royals offense is very reliant on 7, 8, 9 to carry them. That is not a sustainable model. Tommy Pham has great numbers against Gerrit Cole, but you are not winning a game on the bat of Tommy Pham. Kyle Isbell had a really good night last night, and so did Adam Frazier. You are not walking out of Kauffman Stadium tonight chanting, "Let's go Royals," because Kyle Isbell got the job done. But I feel like if your stars are stars, and then you can get those same things from those role players, now it's found money. Now it's not, "Hey, Kyle, we really need a big game for your night because Vinny's not hitting. Hey, Tommy, you gotta get some out of you, buddy, because, you know, Bobby's not doing his job." If Bobby and Vinny get going, now a little bit of that pressure comes off Tommy Pham. A little of that pressure comes off MJ Melendez, who's looking like he's swinging the hardest I've ever seen a human being swing a bat before. And there's a trickle-down effect, and there could be a woo-saw from the whole bench. "Oh, we're good. We did this for 100 and whatever games before Vinny got hurt, and we had a good offense." But I feel like there's a trickle-down effect. Bobby's not hitting. Vinny's not hitting. Salvi's been okay this series. And now 5, 6, 7, 8 are gripping the bat a little tighter. Yuli Gurriel, who I think's had some good at-bats this series, you saw him in a moment on last night. He had an RBI opportunity, and he's not a first-pitch guy. He's a work-the-count type of hitter. First pitch, swinging. He's looking for a pitch, hits a pop out to center field. That's not his regular approach. I think what would happen if you get the big dogs to be dogs is it would calm down the role players, and suddenly that frenzy hitting that HUD talks about would start to happen to Gerrit Cole, and then the Yankees might be in a little bit of a problem.
I mean, it feels to me, and maybe this is hopeful thinking, but I think this is how sports usually work. Man, an extra base hit from Bobby Witt Jr. would get this place rocking tonight, and could be the thing that sort of opens up the floodgates. That's what it is. It opens up the floodgates is what it does. Someone on the text line says, "I'm hearing a lot of can'ts and woes coming. Let's get some positive vibes. Who says Bobby can't go 3-for-5 today before RBIs? Well, if that happens, they win." Like,
he's also 100% capable of that. I'm not saying he can't do it. He just has not done it yet. That's a fact.
100%. If you were telling me right now that Bobby Witt Jr. goes 3-for-5 before RBIs, they're going back to New York. Like, sports are simple. Like, it really is simple. Man, Travis Kelce played well on Monday night. Guess what? The Chiefs won.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's simple. Patrick Mahomes threw for 300 yards. That's the best game he's played so far this season. It was the Chiefs' best effort offensively all season. They won.
I mean, you mentioned earlier in the postseason, I got a lot of flack from fans, and I was like, I don't know if Patrick Mahomes can just stop turning it over. You know what he did in the postseason? He started being a star again, stopped turning the ball over. And then guess what? Suddenly, the Chiefs were world beaters in the postseason. If Bobby Witt turns into June, July, August, even September Bobby Witt.
I don't even think you need – I hear what you're saying. I don't even think you need that. I think you need Bobby Witt Jr. in the middle of what they are doing offensively.
That's fair.
I think you need, in this game, you kick things off. Michael Massey hits a single. Crap. Bobby Witt Jr. gets a standing ovation then in that scenario. That place is going crazy. Bobby, get going here. Bobby hits a double. The momentum, the wave. The Royals never really got things going for the crowd yesterday. The crowd, I think, wanted to go crazy yesterday. They showed Patrick Mahomes on the Jumbotron. Everybody goes crazy. The Royals then score two runs. Patrick then goes over there. He has the back and forth with Garrett Dieter. The Royals then gave it back right after that.
I also think that moment last night wasn't enough. Like, you got the crowd going, but they weren't into a frenzy because they felt like, okay, we're back. If you had gotten that next hit, if Vinny had gotten the base hit Bob Costas said he got, if another hit came through and it's 3-2, then I think the crowd goes from a 9 to another level. It's not on the scale. You know, the thing goes to 11. Then the crowd would really be after him. But I think the crowd was excited because, like, oh, we're back. It's like in basketball, there's a big run and your team tied the game. The crowd is now back in it. We're back. Opposing team calls a timeout. They come out and they score four in a row. The crowd sits back down. Oh, the run's over. That's how it felt last night. They got the game tied, but you felt like, oh, the run, like, the little spurt is over. If they had pushed through and got another one, if they get a lead tonight, then the crowd really gets on top of the Yankees. And now Aaron Boone might be quick with the hook with Garrett Cole. Maybe that bullpen that's been stymieing the Royals feels a little bit shaky coming out there. Like, I think if the Royals get a lead tonight, you'll see that fan base do what we've been talking about, but they haven't had that moment this entire series.
I want to look this up during the commercial break. I think it would be really interesting to see. I would love to see what the percentage of you winning in a postseason game if you are the first team to score. If you are the first team to take an advantage in the game, I wonder what it means. Because one of the things that was kind of disappointing yesterday, because we talked a lot about Clark Schmidt yesterday, was I really wanted you to kind of take advantage of Clark Schmidt early on in that game. I thought Clark Schmidt actually played and pitched pretty well. I was hard on Clark Schmidt yesterday. Man, he had a really solid, good five innings yesterday. And if you got that, if you were the Yankees, you were happy about the effort that you got. I think these two teams have proven to be very, very even. I really do. I think they've proven to be very, very even. I know the advantage on paper would say that the Yankees are the, quote, better team. I don't think the Yankees have proven that they are that much better than the Kansas City Royals in this series. I think it has been small mistakes from the pitching staff with putting so many guys on the base, and the fact that right now this is one of the worst versions of Bobby Witt Jr. that you have seen this season, and Vinny's timing is clearly off right now. I think that has been the two biggest differences. And the Yankees have a lineup where you don't need Aaron Judge to be Superman. Aaron Judge has not been great in this series. Like, you have done a fantastic job against Aaron Judge so far. But then Stanton beat you yesterday. If Bobby Witt Jr. goes 1-for-4 today, can Vinny be the Giancarlo Stanton in this analogy, and can he beat the Yankees today? Can Salvador Perez go 2-for-5 today and have two RBIs and get the crowd going and do those things? This offense is going to go as much as those three individuals take them, and then everybody else kind of fills in. What do you get from Garrett Hampson? What do you get from Michael Massey? What do you get from Mikel Garcia? But everything that this team does offensively, at least at this point in the season, they scored three runs in the Orioles series. They got two RBIs from Bobby Witt Jr., and they got the other RBI from Vinny Pasquantino. This team is not going to be able to win the next two games if you don't get a much better version of your two biggest run producers in Bobby Witt Jr. and Vinny Pasquantino. Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Trey Smith. Welcome to the Drive with CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Going back and taking a closer look at game one between these two teams, the Royals lost game one 6-5, but they did go up against Gerrit Cole. Michael Wacha also pitched. Michael Wacha had four innings pitched, gave up four hits and three earned runs, also had three strikeouts. Gerrit Cole was not that sharp in this game either. He pitched five innings, had seven hits, gave up four runs. Three of them were earned. He only gave you 80 pitches in this game and came out of this game pretty early. Looking at sort of what the Royals were able to do in that game and how they were able to have success, you got a couple of multi-hit games off of Gerrit Cole where if you want to kind of look at, hey, what's the argument for the Royals keeping the lineup the way that it is right now? You didn't see really any shakeup with this team. Well, you look at the last time that they went up against Gerrit Cole. Michael Massey had two hits in there. Salvador Perez, you remember he was struggling a little bit in the Orioles series. He had a hit. Yuli Gurriel, who's actually been one of their better offensive players during this stretch, he was pretty well. MJ Melendez, you remember MJ Melendez in game one hit that big home run in it as well. And you also got a big contribution from Garrett Hampson as well. We talked about the offense and that this offense needs to get going here. Who do you think has the capability going up against Gerrit Cole for the second time of this series, aside from the big three of Witt, Pasquantino, and Salvador Perez? Who is somebody that you're looking at in this game of somebody that can make a difference, somebody that can make an impact, somebody who can be an X factor in today's game?
So I'm going to pull up the numbers real quick because I heard John Morosi say this earlier today, and I wanted to pull the numbers to be safe. The answer is Tommy Pham. I pulled the numbers right now. Tommy Pham is 11 for 29 with two homers and six RBIs and 29 plate appearances against Gerrit Cole. Now, if you want to tell me, Rob, baseball is a sample size sport and 29 plate appearances isn't nearly enough, fine. But you're telling me a guy who is basically batting 300 with multiple homers, and I'm looking at it, he's got five extra base hits and six RBIs, and I saw him in game one see and hit Gerrit Cole well. That's the guy I would say is a pick to click, so to speak. That's the guy where you're like, okay, take Bobby, take Vinny, take Sal off the table. Who's the guy tonight that can get the offense going, that can get it, you know, revved up? Tommy Pham's numbers against Gerrit Cole are just really impressive. And we saw in game two, sometimes hitters just have a pitcher's number. Because I remember going into game two Monday, Vern was on the show saying, hey, just a heads up, Salvador Perez hits Carlos Rodon extremely well. Keep an eye on that. He does really well in his career against Rodon. What did he do? He homered and then, you know, made fun of him coming around third. That matters. Pham sees Cole well for whatever reason. So if you're looking for someone to be a spark plug tonight, a guy who gets the offense revved up and going, I'm looking at the 6-7 hitter. I'm looking at Tommy Pham. The numbers against Gerrit Cole are too good to ignore. That's who I would pick tonight.
Yeah, I'm with you. I look at Tommy Pham as potentially being one of those guys. I do look at the bottom of the lineup for this team and thinking if you can kind of set the table a little bit whenever the order comes back around. You look at Pham, Isbell, and Garcia. Garcia had a four-hit day a couple of games ago against this team. You mentioned Tommy Pham and the success that he's had in this. Are you going to be able to get some contributions from those guys? I actually think you can get to Gerrit Cole in this matchup. I know Gerrit Cole's track record and his history and what he's been. He doesn't really scare me that much in this game. I don't see this being a high-scoring game really on either side. I don't think this is going to be one of those 9-8. I think it's a 5-3. I think if the Royals can limit Yankees base runners and keep guys off the base pass with walks, and I think there's an opportunity the same way that you did in the first game between these two starting pitchers. I think there's an opportunity to get after Gerrit Cole pretty early on in this one. I mean, you scored three runs in the first five innings of the game against the Yankees. You were winning game one 3-2 by the time that Gerrit Cole came out of the game. Can you have that kind of success in the first 15 outs of this game? Can you score 3-4 runs, and can you turn this into a bullpen game? And that's where I do think the Royals have the advantage in this matchup. If you're telling me that right now Michael Wacha and Gerrit Cole cancel each other out, and we're talking about over the course of the last four or five innings, whose bullpen do I trust a little bit more to hold up? I trust Kansas City's. It's going to be, can you take advantage early on? Can you take a 3-2 lead heading into the sixth inning? Can you be up 4-2? And I trust the Royals bullpen to be able to hold on down the stretch. I also think there is a chance. I think there's a chance Cole Reagans pitches today.
Really?
I think there's a chance. This is why I think there's a chance. He was already going to throw today. So I don't think he goes out there and throws three innings. But if Cole Reagans was already going to throw 25 pitches, whatever a pitcher would do on one of his warm-up days, why not have those 25 pitches be today? I don't care what happens on Saturday. If you don't take care of business today, we don't get to a Saturday. So for the seventh inning, let's say that the Royals do have that 4-2 advantage, I'm considering throwing Cole Reagans in the seventh inning. You have Cole Reagans coming there in the seventh inning. It's his already bullpen workout day, so you're not really wasting anything. He throws 15 pitches. That's what his usual workload was going to be. You then have Zerpa or Sam Long in the eighth inning, and then you hand things off to Lucas Ursek. I think you're going to have to do something. I don't want to use the term extreme, but I mean, this is potentially the last game of your season. To me, trying to hold a bullet in a gun that you may not be able to get to fire, I don't know if that's the best course of action. Figure out today, and then we can deal with Saturday, and maybe Cole Reagans can only give us 5-6 innings, and we really have to heavily rely on our bullpen. But you got to figure out a way to win today before we even get to that part of the equation.
That's an interesting thought, and I think it's interesting is that you have him in the scenario you laid out, and it's your scenario. You think it's more likely he pitches if they're winning or if they're losing? Because I would say
either.
I would say if the Royals are trailing, the chances you see Reagans goes up exponentially. And I get your point. Why save a bullet in a gun? You might not get to fire the next day. I get that. But if you're winning 4-2 in the seventh, that's your scenario. If you're using Reagans, you now have taken some of his ability away on Monday. And yeah, maybe you get to Monday, but now in the fourth, he runs into trouble.
Yeah, are you though? Again, this is something that I can admittedly, I just don't know. What is Cole Reagans' usual side throwing session look like?
I also would say his side sessions never have the stress a playoff inning has. Like, he might have a guy stand in there to be the batter, but he's not, hey, I'm going up against Gleyber Torres, is a different type of mentality than just a bullpen session. I think if they're losing, though, and it's not a perfect comparison, but remember in Game 7 of the 14 World Series, everyone talks about Bumgarner coming out of the pen. Guthrie got yanked quick in that game for the Royals. And they went to Herrera, they went to Holland, they went to Hochaver, they went to Davis early in that game, and they extended all those guys. We're going to need two from you today, Herrera. And I know that it's that bullpen's better and all those things, but But maybe you're asking for more from Sam Long. Bay's supposed to one hitter. Brady Singer pitches an inning or two tonight in that scenario. I think if they're winning, I don't say drastic, but I still think you have to save Reagans unless it's dire circumstances.
Yeah, no, I completely understand what you're saying. And if you are winning, we would agree that that is one of those good problems
Correct.
To have where you have a 4-2 lead and we are trying to figure out how to get the last nine outs of this game. That is certainly a scenario that you want to live with.
And maybe Urshay goes six in that scenario, gets six of the outs. Like, you have an off day tomorrow to rest his arm, too. Like, there are lots of good problem situations.
Yeah, I'm just not going into a game of this magnitude where, I mean, we saw the playoffs do or die. Game three was not do or die. Like,
nope.
There was going to be another day. There could potentially not do a – there could not be another day after this. Like, this could be it. This could be the end of it. I'm just not leaving this game with questions, man. I'm not leaving this game with questions or a man we should have. And I know, and we use the cross-sport comparison a lot, man, I'm going down with my best guys. If that means that Cole Reagans is only available for four innings on Saturday, all right, let's figure that out. But I would hate to sort of end the game with timeout, so to speak. No, I'm making sure that I give myself every opportunity to take advantage and maximize our opportunity to get to Game 5, and then we'll figure out Game 5 when we get there. Do we got to pitch Lugo? What do we have to do in Game 5 to make sure that we can win this game? Who's available? Who's available in this scenario? That would be how I would handle it if I'm the Royals, at least when it comes to Cole Reagans. If you think that Cole Reagans is your best pitcher and gives you the best chance to win, I think he has to pitch in some capacity tonight. I don't think he can give you three innings today because you do have to prepare for
Correct.
Saturday. But if you're telling me that you need a big left-handed out and Cole Reagans was going to pitch anyway, Cole, get out there.
I guess to your point about going out with your best players, this is the yin and the yang of being a baseball manager. This is what Q's going to be battling tonight. If he does that and they win tonight and they go down with their best guys on the mound and they get three or four outs from Cole Reagans tonight, you've then possibly robbed him of three to four outs on Monday, and you're now on Monday potentially, and that's the big caveat, potentially on Monday not going down with your best guys because we pitched him on Thursday, we can't pitch Reagan into the sixth, so now it's Michael Lorenzen time, and you don't really want Michael Lorenzen. I get what you're saying, though. I am all hands on deck today.
Text line 913-586-7965. Let me know what you guys think. Do you guys think there's a possibility that Cole Reagans could pitch and play in today's game? That's just what I would do if I'm the manager here. Again, I'm going out with my best guys. I'm playing small ball if we need to today. If we get a runner on in the first inning, the second inning, and
so
we need to.
You'd bunt early. You'd play for the one as opposed to the big inning early.
I'm willing to do anything we can to try to get to four runs.
All right.
If you score four runs today, I think the Royals win today. If they can get to four, if you can figure, especially early on, if you're telling me you could give Michael Wacha the ability where you're up 2-0 heading into the third inning, I think that's the position you want to be, where you're playing from a position of power, and then you can be the, all right, let's pull Michael Wacha a little bit early. We're up 2-0 heading into the fifth inning. Now let's make this a bullpen game. That's it. Let's then make this a bullpen game if that's what we need to. I want to see the Royals' ability to adjust on the fly and do whatever they need to do. You want, like, number one bullet point. They have to figure out a way to get to four. If they figure out a way to get to four, they win today's game. It is a do or die. There is no tomorrow. If you lose today, then you know what? Cole Reagans will be completely rested up for his trip to Bora Bora tomorrow. He will be 100%.
Come on. We know Cole enough. He's not going to Bora Bora. He's going to some deer blind tomorrow.
No, tomorrow he's going to Bora Bora. He's going there in November. That's when he's going for his hunting trip. Let me know who you guys think are potential X factors in today's game. 913-586-7965. We are outside Kauffman Stadium getting you ready for Game 4, Royals and Yankees.
Chiefs fans, it's Nick Bolton, MIZ. Welcome to The Drive with CDOT on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Rob, are you excited to listen to Bob Costas tonight?
No.
And Ron Darling?
No.
You sure?
Positive. Okay. I am looking forward to not being able to see the game with it based on their camera angles. It's going to be great. Big hit in the third. No one knows the ball landed. Bob doesn't. Ron doesn't. Camera guy doesn't. Just going to guess. I had to Twitter in those moments.
I was very confused whenever that ball looked like it could be fair or foul. Like, we kept watching. I'm like, this is obviously foul. What are we doing here?
Yeah. That's a different replay problem. Like, I was convinced the Royals were about to get a bad.
They do such a good job of making you feel like you're there, you know?
Oh, yeah.
They do such a great job.
I was like, you know, sometimes you do have, like.
What former Royal do you think they're going to interview for the whole top of the fourth?
Well, Zach Greinke might be doing the first pitch, so I imagine that he'll be being talked to for 6, 7, 8 innings. Hey, you were on the 2022 Royals. What was that like?
If they do a full interview with Zach Greinke during a half inning of the game, Major League Baseball should take viewing rights away from TNT. They should void their contract. They should void their contract right now and just give all of these postseason games to ESPN. That's what they should do. They should give every single one of them to ESPN.
I mean, I saw the schedule came out for the CS. Like, we now know where what time games 1 and 2 would be if they exist for the Royals and the CS. They're on TBS, so now this problem isn't going anywhere for a while.
I just got a text from our boss, and he told me to say that if anybody's radio broadcast isn't working today, that they should direct all their complaints to you.
No, that's Vern.
No, that's Vern. That's what he told me.
We
he
all
said,
know that last...
He said if it's not working, that it's your fault. That all I do is show up and talk. That's all I do. I don't know what else you guys think I do here. People be asking me questions like, bro, I am an employee. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I don't know what's happening.
I mean, even if you knew, what did that guy who tweeted you last night expect? Hey, man, we're going to walk through all the engineering steps on social media. Like, what do you think?
You obviously know. What are we talking about? Like, you,
just because I know that the steps does not
that's
mean.
That's what I'm saying. Today, if it doesn't work today, you know what I want you to do? I want you to send an email to robert.brenton@odyssey.com. That's what I want you to do. If you're having any problem with your audio, that's what I want you to do. I want you to send an email to Rob so we can figure out why it's not working. That's what I would love for you to do. That would make me happy. I think that will make you happy, and that would make everybody happy. Text line 913-586-7698. I don't even know the number. Yeah, I don't even know.
586-7965.
I messed up. It happened. I messed up.
you were gone.
Yeah, no, I messed up. I gave him the wrong number. Good. I should have gave him your number. That's what I should have done. X Factor for today's game. I'd like to nominate Michael Massey for my X Factor for today's game. Michael Massey has really become one of their more important offensive players.
Does he count as an X Factor anymore? He's their leadoff hitter, and he's their best hitter right now.
You know what? He's their best hitter right now.
I think he's their best hitter right now. Who's hitting better right now than Michael Massey?
No, there's nobody hitting better right now. I just would say, like, if you're telling me that somebody on their team goes 3-for-5 today, my guess would not be Michael Massey.
I would agree with that. But, like, if you're like nominating an X Factor, the guy who's been tearing the cover off the ball, hey, you know who I think is pretty good? Lucas Ursig. Yeah. Watch out for him to be an X Factor. That feels not X Factor.
It just feels like Bobby Witt just needs one to drop.
Just needs one moment.
Like, the analogy I made earlier today. The analogy I made was a lot like Steph in the Olympics. Like, you and I, Steph did not shoot well in the Olympics for the first four games of it.
He was real bad.
And then the bronze medal game and then the gold medal game, so the semifinal and the final, and Steph Curry just turned back into Steph Curry and was like, oh, yeah, that's why you're the greatest shooter that we've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. All you need is a couple to go in. It just feels like Bobby Witt just needs one hard hit ball into the gap to get things going. And I genuinely think that Kauffman Stadium will feed off of the energy today.
Do you think he got that with that? I know it was a seeing eye single, but you think he got that in his last at bat? I mean, he got off the schneid. You saw on TBS, they cut to his dad. His dad excited. I mean, it was a single between third and short. But do you think that takes a little bit of pressure off him and can give him, hey, it's fine. You got your hit. You're no longer hitless in the series. Take a breath, go get him now. Like, do you think that he may have had that take the pressure off hit already?
I don't think we're going to know until his first at bat today.
That's fair.
I think that will tell you everything that you need to know. You notice when we had a couple of different people on earlier today, they used the term reaching with Bobby Witt. Like, that was kind of a theme from Royals people that we had on today.
Yep.
Bobby's reaching a little bit more than he does. Now, I get it. You know, every at bat matters, every decision matters. Like, you were being hyper analyzed.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see Bobby get away from doing that in this game.
I agree. I think Vern used the term that he extended the zone multiple times. HUD used a similar term. I think it's a kind of a yin and a yang. Because he got a walk yesterday, which was good, and he got the hit yesterday. So I think he's seeing the ball better. But I feel like maybe what we talked about for the whole show today, which is like, hey, you need your stars to be stars. Maybe he's feeling the pressure that singles and walks aren't good enough. And that he's got to hit a 5-run home run every time up, because he knows Vinny ain't Vinny right now. Salvi ain't doing Salvi stuff right now. Yuli Gurriel ain't carrying this team. I wonder if he feels like it can't be, you know, 1-for-3 with a walk and a single. It has to be 3-for-5 with a double. I wonder if he's extending because he's starting to feel like the offense is me today. To your crossbar analogy, I think one of the reasons Patrick Mahomes struggled at times last year is he felt like if I don't make the play, ain't no one making the play. These bums aren't catching the ball. And when he got away from that, I think the offense got better. Maybe Bobby can take it relax and feel like, okay, if I do get a single, if I do get a walk, that's good enough to get the offense jump started. I just got to do my job and get back to, I mean, so cliche, get back to fundamentals.
What do you think the Royals need to do to win today to tie this series back up at 2 apiece and head back to New York?
They need to hit Garrett Cole where they hit Garrett Cole in game one. Like, I know they lost, but you got 5 runs, 4 of them off Garrett Cole. If you get 4 runs off Garrett Cole today, you're winning. Like, Waka will not walk the park. If you get 4 off Garrett Cole, I feel like, okay, they're in a good spot.
I think it's going to be first batter of the inning. You remember in game one, I believe that it was. In game one, 7 of the 9 batters reached base. I think that's going to be really critical today. I also think the Royals need to take advantage in the first 3 innings of the game. I think the Royals need to be up 2-1 after the first 3 innings of the game. I think that's going to be of utmost importance today. The Royals are, what, plus 125 on the money line? I think there's a lot of value in taking the Royals today. I think they're at a slight disadvantage because of Cole against Michael Wacha. I think this game is very, very easily winnable if your big three is good and you keep letting so many guys off the base pass. Coming up on the other side, you will hear from Josh Vern. You're a keeper right here. It's 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.